Well, it's nice to see so many people here tonight. It's nice to know that when the pastor's not here, we still have the faithful come. Let me begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of gathering this evening on a Thursday night. We could have this midweek service. Though the pastor is not here, the church still goes on. We ask you to help me preach as you would have me to preach, Father, and watch over Open Door and let us put you first in all that we do. And in Jesus' name, amen. You know, no matter how many times I do this, I'm still nervous when I start coming up here and preach. God kind of works unusually with me when it comes to sermons, oftentimes. I'm not saying God ever just revealed something to me that's never been revealed before. It's just God sometimes opens my eyes to connect certain dots, or I read a Bible verse and God will say, you know, that'll make a great sermon. Maybe we should research that a little bit more. And that's kind of what happened with this sermon. I was doing my weekly Bible study at Falcon Ridge, and we were going through 1 Corinthians, and I came across a Bible verse, and as I was teaching about that verse, and we'll get to that one later, God was like, you know, that would be a good sermon. Maybe you should consider that. It's like, okay, I'll give it a try. What my sermon today is about something that's very precious and very valuable. It's something that is much more important, more valuable than the finest silver or the finest gold or the finest platinum or the rarest of jewels. It is more important than oil, than even the wheel or fire. It is something that is available for all of us if we but seek it. If we begin, we'll turn to, if you turn to 1 John, I'm sorry, I take it back. You're going to turn to 1 John, but we're going to begin in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting, so you can imagine how my teachers felt. Leviticus chapter 17. Now, this thing that I'm talking about, this very precious item that is available for everyone, that's worth more than gold or silver or jewels or anything else, is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the greatest gift out there. It is the key to so many things, and we're going to talk about three of them today. The blood of Jesus is important because the blood of Jesus, it cleanses us. It purchased our freedom for us, and it was shed for eternal life. The Bible teaches that blood is life. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, I'm in Numbers. What am I doing in Numbers? For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And same chapter, verse 14 says, for it is the life of all flesh, the blood it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now, the life, our life is in the blood. That's what the Bible teaches. If you've ever taken time to study the human body, blood does a lot. I mean, you breathe in oxygen and it goes into your lungs, but it's the blood that takes the oxygen where it needs to go. The blood takes the food we digest where it needs to go. Your organs need things to work. It comes from the blood. Most of it does. Some of it comes from other things, yes, but most of it comes from the blood. Our blood is very important. The life of our flesh is in our blood. That's what God taught. And since he made us, I think he knows best. Now, As I said, the life of our flesh is in the blood. But our flesh doesn't produce anything good. Our flesh is very corrupt. If you go to Galatians and chapter 5, I did my research in one of my Bibles, and I'm preaching from a different Bible. So it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't look like the page I researched. It's like, I got to remember, different Bible, different size book. All right, chapter 5 and verse 19, starting 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's our sinful nature. Our flesh tempts us to do wrong. We're tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our flesh was really strong draw, because the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, and our fleshly desire, our fleshly body desires those sins, but they're wrong, they're bad, they corrupt us, and they lead us down to the path of hell. Our blood may feed our flesh. The life of our flesh is in our blood, but what our flesh produces is not life, it's death. Mm-hmm. But the blood of Jesus can take that corruption and wash it away. See, our sin is like a stain. Can you imagine like a beautiful white dress? Absolutely perfect, except someone came and splashed a little tomato sauce on it, or anything like that. Yes, or a beautiful carpet just installed, just laid down, and someone comes and spills a whole bowl of soup on it. Stains can take something good and just make it look wrong, look corrupt, look bad. And if we could see with spiritual eyes what sin does to us, if we could see what God sees when he sees sin. A lot of people say, you know, I wish that people could see into the spiritual world so they could see the angels and the demons and get saved. That wouldn't get them saved, but I think if they could see what their sin does to themselves, to their souls, they would get changed. Although we can't see with our physical eyes, sin covers us in a filth that just can't be washed away with water, with soap, with Formula 409 can't do it. You can submerge yourself in Comet scrubbing. You'll just wind up all gritty and a little bloody, but you won't cleanse that away. What does it is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what cleanses our bodies from this. It is the ultimate solvent. It is the ultimate cleaning product, if you think about it. I'm not trying to make light of the blood of Jesus, but it cleanses what we can't clean. It cleanses what is beyond our ability to clean on our own. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I think of all the authors of the Bible, I think John's definitely my favorite. 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The key word there, in my opinion, is all. You know, I don't care about your past. I don't care who you are, what you did, what sins you have. The blood of Jesus can cleanse every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And if you turn to Hebrews, just a couple books back, chapter 13, and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. To sanctify us, to cleanse us, Jesus shed his blood. His own blood to save us, to cleanse us. No matter what wrong you have, no matter how far away you are from God, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and bring you right back. Now, God, Jesus is not going to force his blood upon you to clean you. You got to be willing to take the step to do that. But it's there when you're ready for it. The second point is that the blood of Jesus is very precious. Gold and silver can be used to buy a lot of things. They're considered precious. Platinum's considered precious. Jewels, precious. There are a lot of things in this world that we can use to obtain what we need and what we want. Well, you know what God wants more than anything? He wants us to go to heaven. And God used something very precious to enable us to go to heaven. And that thing he used is his son's blood. When you're saved, you are bought with a price. And that price was the son of God's shedding of his blood. I mean that's just amazing that God loved us enough to buy that for us. First Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." That was the verse, by the way, that kind of got me to think about this sermon. You're bought with a price, and it was a heavy price. All the gold in Fort Knox couldn't match the price that was going on here. That was what God did for us. That blood is precious. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read very quickly in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 25. I'm going to Hebrews after that. That's probably why you want to stay in the New Testament. I'll just read it to you. It talks about how this is the Levitical sacrifice, that this was a sin offering. It says, "And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horn of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering." This was something the Israelites had to do. This was a sin offering. They had to come to the altar. They had to make a sacrifice. They'd take the blood, put the blood on the altar. And that would be the sin offering for the people of Israel. If you go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." What Jesus did was that he took his blood up to heaven with him. Because there was a temple in heaven, Jesus did something very similar to what happened in the Old Testament. Only, but whereas in the Levitical times, that was a temporary thing, this is now a permanent thing. We now have permanent salvation. We are saved. And the blood of Jesus paid it all. Yes, gold is nice. Yes, silver looks pretty. But you know what? That blood of Jesus is more precious than anything in the world that we could possibly have. Because whereas gold, silver, and money can be used to buy the things of life, the blood of Jesus bought eternal life. And point number three, which is a continuation, the blood is shed for our eternal life. Romans chapter 5. And verse 9. Says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We are saved from wrath through him. That blood. The wrath of God is not something you want to experience. Mm-mm. I've gotten in trouble in my day, and I've regretted it. But the wrath of God is infinitely worse than anything you could experience here on earth. But though we deserve God's wrath, the blood of Jesus protects us from God's wrath because it saves us. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his grace." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And Colossians 1:14. Says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Here's my conclusion. We are fallen creatures. We slip up. We make mistakes. We sin. We get ourselves corrupt. We get ourselves dirty. But the blood of Christ is there to cleanse us. We have a God who loves us so much that he was willing to take the most precious thing there and use it to buy our salvation, the blood of his son. Take this precious thing and say, I use this to pay the price for your sins. We're bought. Jesus went to that cross to shed his blood for our eternal life. That blood means so much. I know we often take times to remember what he went through, but that we can never be grateful enough for Jesus giving us his blood, for the Father using it, and for the Spirit leading us to it. It is an item of great value that we need to appreciate more and more each day. And understand that without that blood, we would still be lost, we would still be unclean, and we would not have the eternal life that we don't deserve, but God still gave for us. I know this is a short sermon. I'm not really a long sermon kind of guy. I guess I'm more of a straight to the point myself. I don't know how good it was, but this is what God laid on my heart, so I'm glad I got the chance to share it with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time. We ask you, God, to please watch over this church, be with our pastor as he's away, and his son as well. Thank you, God, that I got the chance to preach, and I thank you, God, that you gave me this opportunity to show how much I love you, God, by doing this. And I ask you, God, to please be with everyone else who is preaching while the pastor is away. And Lord, continue to bless Open Door and help our ministries grow stronger. And let us always be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.